your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Welcome back, Driven Woman. Today's guest, Nicole Khalil, is a speaker, trainer, and host of the This Is Women's Work podcast. Nicole left a successful corporate career in a male-dominated industry, financial services. A lot of dudes there. And is now an executive coach for women in leadership positions in a variety of industries. You're going to hear in this lively conversation that Nicole is just as passionate about helping women reach greater levels of confidence and success as I am. Nicole shares her favorite definition of confidence. We go deep into the five limiting beliefs that she has identified that derail that confidence, and the five beliefs we can replace them with that are confidence boosters. We are also going to talk about our thoughts on the advice to, quote, fake it till you make it, whether she believes any woman can develop confidence, and whether you can actually have too much confidence. That's an interesting thing to consider. I hope this conversation will not only motivate and inspire you, but that you will begin to put Nicole's advice into practice today. Spoiler alert, one of the most heartfelt moments in the entire interview is when Nicole shares her mantra for when times are hard, something that she uses to remind herself that she is her daughter's role model. I gotta admit, I teared up just a bit right along with Nicole when she shared that. The links to Nicole's website, her podcast, her Instagram handle, and a very special offer just for the audience of the Driven Woman podcast are awaiting you in the show notes. And now, without further delay, I want to invite you to this conversation between two female entrepreneurs who help other women gain more confidence. My guest, Nicole Khalil. Lean in and enjoy. So my guest today is Nicole Khalil, who is a fellow coach, speaker, and podcaster. She is also a refugee from a successful corporate career, whereas I'm a successful refugee from a successful nonprofit career. But we are here today to talk about a mutual favorite topic, and that is confidence. What builds it, what tears it down, and how you can get more of it. So, Nicole, welcome. I can't wait to start dishing on our mutually favorite topic.
Thank you, Diane, for having me. I love nothing more than just talking about confidence with somebody who's equally as passionate about it as I am. So, this will be fun.
Yes, and empowering women to have more confidence, because I think it's Absolutely. One of the things that I hear way too much of. Well, that must be nice for her. You know, she's really confident. Or, well, if I was more confident. So let's just go right to that. Like, do you believe that any woman can become confident, or at least more confident than she is now?
Phenomenal question. And the easy answer is yes. Confidence is a skill that can be developed. It's not something we were born with or born without, or born. In fact, I would argue that we were all born with confidence and probably lost some of it along the way. But the best news for me about all of the research, learning, observation, you know, implementing myself, witnessing everything that I've done as it relates to confidence has reinforced the idea that any one of us can build our confidence anytime we want. And I think that's incredibly good news.
Same. You can preach to this choir all the time if you want. Some people will disagree with us, but it has also been my experience that confidence is a skill and a choice and a habit that we can develop, but it has to start with your willingness to believe, or at least experiment with the possibility Yes. that could be true for you.
Well, I would add, I think confidence is one of those words that gets overused a lot, or it's used in a lot of different ways, but not always in a way it actually means. And so I did some digging. The etymology of the word confidence is firm trust. It's to boldly trust. And so when we talk about confidence, ultimately what we're talking about is firmly trusting ourselves. Or if you think about having confidence in something or someone, is that you firmly trust that something or someone. But when I'm talking about confidence, especially as it relates to working with women, I'm talking about boldly trusting yourself. And so that is something that we can do, we can choose, we can build anytime we want. And so, you know, the concept that getting compliments or getting validation or that getting a promotion or making a certain level of income or any of those things that those things will bring you confidence doesn't jive with what I know to be true about confidence building. If we simplify it and bare bones it, if it's ultimately about trust and ultimately about trusting ourselves, that is something any one of us can build, grow, develop again, anytime we want.
It's so true, Nicole. In fact, I think it's one of the things that is probably the most common or popular, if you will, myth about confidence is that confidence is something we get from somewhere else. Like, I will be more confident when this person I like returns my attention. I will feel more confident in my competency when I get that better job or promotion or that better client. It's almost like the way I think of it is that confidence is treated by many as a reward for a job well done. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I've done many jobs well and gotten shit in return. Yeah. So that can't be it. But if we're not looking for it from outside of ourselves, giving it to ourselves may take a little bit of mental adjustment for a few people.
I would say huge mental adjustment, because it's contrary to what we've been told consciously and subconsciously pretty much our whole lives. And exactly what you're talking about is one of my key points is we're living under this false equation. And that false equation is, if X happens, then I'll feel confident. X being, you know, fill in the blank. If I get that compliment, if I meet the right guy, if I get the promotion, if I get the income, if I wear a certain size, if the scale says a certain weight, if X happens, then I'll feel confident. It's a completely false equation, because we've all experienced it. You've gotten the promotion or you lost the weight. And yes, you might feel good temporarily, but then you want more of that thing. You know, like, I got the promotion, and this is a true example. I got the promotion. I was excited for, you know, maybe 24 to 48 hours. And then I started freaking out about whether or not I'd be good at the job, or who was upset about me getting the job, or what I needed to do, and what was the next step. And then I lost any feeling of temporary confidence that I might have had. And that means it's not confidence. The equation that actually works is, when I'm confident, I have a higher probability of X. Confidence starts first and foremost within. It's built internally, not externally. And yes, all of those things can feel good. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not good to get a promotion or get a compliment or to, you know, lose weight or any of those things. I'm just saying it's not what's going to build your confidence.
It's not firm trust.
It's not firm trust. And again, the word being overused, you know, when I work out, I feel confident. It's like, well, you may look at it from the angle of when you keep a commitment to yourself, when you prioritize your health, when you do things that give you energy and release endorphins, that those things can build trust and therefore build confidence. But the actual act of working out or losing weight or anything like that is not a direct correlation to confidence. It might make you feel more attractive. It might make you feel stronger or more powerful or give you energy. But again, we're using the word inappropriately a lot of times. And we just have to be careful about where we're coming from and what we're trying to accomplish to determine whether or not it's actually going to be confidence building.
Well, it's misleading, Nicole. I think it's misleading. It sets us up for more disappointment, which is anything but confidence building. I think another thing that a lot of people say is, so you're saying we should fake it till we make it. And I know that that's also not what you're talking about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Well, and it's going to sound like semantics, but I just have a spin on it. I'm not a big fan of faking anything, because what we're talking about is being inauthentic, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Right? And being inauthentic does not build trust, right? So this concept of fake it till you make it doesn't resonate with me. I would flip it to choose it until you feel it. Be conscious to choose trust, to choose confidence, even in those moments where the feeling hasn't arrived yet, or you might not, you know, totally know, to choose trust, to choose confidence. And eventually the feeling catches up. And that's one of the coolest things that I've been able to witness in the work that I do in coaching so many executive level women, entrepreneurs, business owners, you know, it is just, we do this way more often than we give ourselves credit for. Think about, you know, having a day that didn't start out so well, and you have to go into an important meeting. We choose trust. We choose confidence in that moment. Or, you know, going from a bad conversation to another important one, or getting a rejection or a no, and then having to go into your next sales conversation, whatever the example may be. This is something we do a lot more often than we give ourselves credit for. But beginning to do it purposefully and strategically, choosing it until you feel it versus faking it till you make it.
I don't think it's semantics. I think that basically the way we talk to ourselves about ourselves determines.
Matters.
Oh, goodness. I mean, I'm a mindset coach, so obviously I believe this. But I think we are always narrating our life and our felt experience from moment to moment to moment. So why not lead with the kinds of thoughts that are going to build confidence? Now, the topic that we're talking about is building confidence, and it's actually not a secret, but it feels like a secret because so many people aren't dialed in on it. They're confused. They're confounding it with other things like confidence and courage. There's a lot of overlap. But I know that you believe there are specific things that we can do to increase our confidence. And there are also things that will decrease it, like poking a hole in your gas tank and losing all your resources. Let's talk about those, because I think those are actionable, memorable, and will really help the listeners start to make these changes like automatically.
Yeah. So one of the things I often say is we live in a world where people are constantly telling us to be confident, but very rarely do they tell us how we actually build it. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to really focus on is again, those more actionable, implementable tools so that we can build confidence as opposed to just being yelled at all the time to be confident.
Do this, do that.
I'm going to start with the derailers or the things that chip away at our confidence. Because for a lot of us, you can work on confidence building activities. You might even know some of them. But if you're not aware of the things that are decreasing your confidence or chipping away at it, you can sort of feel like you're on a confidence hamster wheel, right? You're doing a lot of work, but you don't really feel like you're getting anywhere. And that's because these five confidence derailers impact almost every woman I've ever talked to, you know, in varying degrees at varying levels, but pretty much daily. So the five confidence derailers, and a couple of them we already talked about, so I'm sure, you know, you're going to have some head nods here, but the first confidence derailer is perfectionism. I've heard it said that perfectionism is the enemy of confidence, and I couldn't agree more. It is a top confidence derailer that impacts women at a much higher level than our male counterparts. So perfectionism is number one. Head trash is number two. I've also heard it called the inner critic. It's the way we speak to ourselves in our own minds. And head trash is never kind and very rarely true. It's the stuff we make up about ourselves or about our situations and the things that we say to ourselves about ourselves that are not kind or loving. And I often say, you know, would you say that to somebody you love? Would you say that to a best friend, a sister, a daughter, your mother? And if the answer is no, stop saying it to yourself, because first and foremost, we should be somebody that we love. Mm-hmm. So head trash is number two, confidence derailer. Number three is judgment and comparison. That's a big one, especially in today's day and age. I think judgment and comparison always existed, but now with social media, it's just so easy. Like, we can in a second compare ourselves to somebody else, judge another person, judge ourselves. And I think it's easy to see when we compare ourselves and come out behind or judge ourselves, how that would chip away at confidence. But what's interesting is even when you compare and come out ahead or judge others like as lesser than you, like that person's a moron or what an idiot, or at least I'm not as screw up like this person, even that chips away at our own confidence, because what it does is it triggers the inner critic. And our brain doesn't really care which direction the judgment and comparison goes. So if we start judging other people, it's just a matter of moments before it'll turn back on us. So judgment and comparison is number three. Number four is overthinking. Thinking is not a problem. It's the over part. And what's problematic there is overthinking leads to inaction. And inaction leads to regrets. You know, you talk to the most successful, even the most confident or people in later stages of life, what their biggest regrets are. And more often than not, you're going to hear about the things they didn't do, the risks they didn't take, the dreams they didn't chase, the conversations they didn't have. And so inaction is problematic as it relates to our confidence, because it leads to inaction, which leads to regrets. And then the fifth confidence derailer we talked about already is seeking confidence externally. That false equation, if X happens, then I'll feel confident. It's this strange belief that we have that our confidence is out there living outside of us, and that somebody else or something else has it, and they're going to bring it to us or give it to us. And one thing I know for certain is your confidence isn't out there, and it's nobody else. to give or take away. So those are the five confidence derailers. I'm happy to dig into any one of them a little bit more, but these are the things that are doing damage, chipping away at our overall confidence. And we need to be very mindful. Knowing what they are is the first step, and then figuring out how to counterbalance them, reframe our thoughts, get into action, and that will lead to the confidence builders. But that's a big opportunity.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I imagine everyone listening, including myself, can identify with all of these. I mean, all of us have been caught in the grip of perfectionism.
Yep.
Especially new business owners. It's so fascinating how often we think, I'm doing something for the first time. I have no experience in this area, but I have to nail it on the first try, which is ridiculous, really.
But insane.
I want to do this right. I can't make any mistakes. My self-esteem is resting on doing this perfectly. I'll be humiliated when other people see me fall on my face. So you just sort of wrap it all up in together. You're being a perfectionist. You're being mean to yourself and forgetting to take out your head trash. You're comparing yourself to others and thinking, oh, I have to do it as well as whoever you're looking up to and admiring. Thinking, trying to make it the best it can possibly be. Meanwhile, the window of opportunity is closing. And then feeling like a big old jerk because you failed. And obviously no one is going to approve of you for that. So you can literally do the whole clusterfuck of, you know, confidence derailers in one single action. And I think every woman identifies with these things. Do you think there's one of the whole pack of jackals that is either the most malignant or most, I kind of sometimes think like the Jenga block or the dominoes. If you could pull out just one of them, would the others maybe collapse just a little bit? What do you think is the one that's really the most, or is it different for different women? Hey there, it's Diane. Whether you are a brand new listener or have been with me from the beginning, I want to let you know how much I appreciate that you take the time out of your week to listen to the Driven Woman podcast. I love knowing that there are women all over the world whose lives are being changed for the better simply by listening to our solo episodes, guest expert interviews, and client success stories. Some of them tell me so in podcast reviews, in DMs on Instagram, and by email. And I love, love, love hearing from them. But you know, for many of us, we are not going to be able to reach our most important goals without guidance, support, and accountability. The kind you get from an expert coach who truly understands what it's like to build a business, even though you're afraid, even though you're uncertain, even though you don't have it all figured out, because that coach has done it themselves and helped other people as well. So whether one-to-one coaching is what's right for you because you want a highly customized approach, or you really prefer to learn and grow and be challenged as part of a group, I've got you. There are links in the show notes. You can let me know that you're interested, and we will take the next step together. I promise I will not invite you to work with me unless I think you're ready, unless I think I'm the right coach for you, and unless I am 100% confident that we can blow your mind and rock your world together, because that is the only kind of outcomes that I am interested in creating. So let me know if that sounds right for you. I just wanted to make sure that you knew there is more available to you than just listening to this podcast. But that being said, I'm so glad you're here. Want to know what one of my clients has to say about the experience of working with me? Have a listen to this.
I adopted this phrase of, this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need. Where you were attracted.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through, mostly, in my memory, of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
Yeah, so it's a great question. And I do think it's different for different women, because I've had these conversations with so many women at this point, and I've noticed that sometimes people are like, that one doesn't affect me as much or anymore, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And so everybody kind of has their flavor, if you will. I don't know anybody mm-hmm. who's like, nope, none of those have ever affected me. I mean, like some of those affected me today. But I think perfectionism, specifically for women, that strong statement of it being the enemy of confidence is probably the one. This concept, if you think about it logically for a second, it's just insane what we put ourselves through. But this concept that we're supposed to do it all, we're supposed to be it all, we're supposed to have it all, and we're supposed to look good while doing it, mm-hmm. it's a little bit nutty. And we know logically that perfectionism isn't an achievable goal. We know in our brains, nobody is perfect. Nothing is perfect. And yet we set ourselves up for this unachievable goal. And then we have the audacity to beat ourselves up when we fall short, which is an inevitable thing. Like it's just batshit crazy. If you think about
mm-hmm.
it.
Truly.
And this thing that we put on ourselves that we just wouldn't put on somebody else we love. If somebody you cared about was doing something for the first time. Like if my daughter decided to learn how to play the guitar, if she came in tears and horrified at how bad she was after her first lesson, I'd be like, come on, like this is the first, you're not supposed to be good. It wouldn't say very much about the skill of playing a guitar if you could figure it out the first time. And yet we think, you know, the first time we do a presentation or the first time we make a sale or the first time we start a business, that we're supposed to have it all figured out, and that we wouldn't give ourselves even a smidge of the same grace that we would give anyone else.
Even a stranger. I mean, forget your daughter or your best friend or your sister. It's like the way we treat ourselves in our own heads with our self-talk and our expectations is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost universal.
It is. And it's breaking trust with ourselves. And it's very damaging.
I love that. So I think we are all well acquainted with all the ways that we can literally take ourselves in the opposite direction of where we want to go. Please tell me there's something we can do to reverse the damage and start to build some freaking confidence.
Absolutely. And you can do any of these things like now or today. You know, you don't have to wait. Like everything in life, it will take practice. So, you know, the more you practice it, the more habitual it'll get. I know, Diane, that you have a greater expertise around the brain and how it works. And the brain is wired for habits, right? And so we just have to basically acknowledge that we have a ton of habits at this point. And a lot of this work is going to be breaking, replacing, remaking new habits. And that will take some time. But yes, you can literally start today. The five confidence builders are in a lot of ways antidotes to the derailers. So if one of the derailers really was like, oh, that's my jam, like I've got that derailer down pat, then there's an antidote in one of the builders that would probably be the priority for you to focus on. But the five builders as they are, number one is action. Action builds confidence. If you take nothing away from our time together, but that, take that away. Action builds confidence. You can't hope your way into confidence. You can't fingers and toes and cross your way into confidence. You can't, you know, think plan. Your way into it. Yeah. Plan, prepare.
Research.
You must act your way into confidence. And so it's the same way you do anything. If you think about a big insurmountable goal you might have and compare it to the idea of climbing Mount Everest, I would imagine, and I am not a climber, nor will I ever climb Mount Everest, but I would imagine no matter how much time, preparation, research you've done, when you're standing at the bottom of the mountain looking up, that thing looks big, scary, insurmountable. You probably are thinking, what the fuck did I just get myself into, right? And then the answer lies in how do you climb Mount Everest? One step at a time. You put one foot in front of the other, and it's the same way you do anything. You practice your way into it. So action builds confidence. I want to spend a little more time on that one because it is so, so, so important. And action is the antidote to overthinking. The second confidence builder is the one that surprises people the most. And so I'll just ask you to hang on with me for a second.
Surprised.
The second confidence builder is failure.
Yes.
Failure, mistakes, missteps, getting things wrong, however you want to call it, you actually can fail your way into confidence. It's the concept of failing forward. Our failures don't define us unless we let them, but more often than not, our failures propel us. Again, talk to any successful or uber confident person, and they will have failed more than, you know, the average mediocre or anybody. It's part of the deal. And conceptually, it's important that we understand that failure is actually a neutral event. We are the ones that bring meaning to the event. How do we know this? What one person sees as a failure, another person might not. What I think is big, scary, and insurmountable may be small potatoes to another person, or what you know, think is small might be big to somebody else. Failure in and of itself is a neutral event. We're the ones bringing meaning to it. And so if that's true, then that means we have the opportunity and the choice to bring a different interpretation or a different meaning to the event. So we have the ability to see it as a gift. We could see it as a learning lesson or an opportunity or something that redirected us in a better direction. And here's what I tell myself when I'm in my failures, because no matter what, failures still suck when you're in it. Like, I don't know how, or at least personally, I haven't figured out how to enjoy my failures when I'm in it.
In the moment. Yep.
In the moment. Yes. I know in my brain that this will help build confidence, that I can see it another way. And And I do all of the work to try to do that. But ultimately, it doesn't feel good in the moment. So what I tell myself is the only thing that's missing is hindsight. Because with the benefit of hindsight, I can look back at all of my previous failures or mistakes or whatever, and I can see what purpose they served or how it benefited me or how I grew from it or whatever. And so I just tell myself the only thing that's missing right now is hindsight. And that helps me to not think there's something wrong with me or there's something missing inside of me. Okay. So I spent a lot of time on those two confidence builders, but they're really, really big
they're
ones.
Really, really. And they're counterintuitive.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think a lot of women overthink because they don't want to fail. They think by the more thinking, the more researching, the more planning, the more preparing, the more talking to other people about what they should do, the more prepared they are to go out and succeed. But you're probably going to fail anyway, because there's always something that we didn't know. And if you weren't putting your whole self-esteem bet on winning, you would have gotten out there and learned the lesson a whole hell of a lot quicker. And I definitely learned these lessons the hard way over a very long time. So if I can help anyone, if we can help anyone through this conversation, embrace failure as a path to growth and confidence, hallelujah, nothing would make me happier. What's the third one?
Agreed. Okay. So, and let me just say that failure is the antidote to perfectionism. I think that's sort of obvious, but just in case. Okay. The next confidence builder is giving yourself grace on the journey. And this is sort of a two-parter. Number one, understand that trust and confidence building is always a journey. Nobody arrives at trust or confidence, plants a flag, and it's like, whoo, glad I did that.
One
right?
and done.
Like, work is done. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. It will always be a journey. And there will be moments of steps forwards and step backs and all of that. So understanding it's a journey. And because of that, it's going to require that we give ourselves the same measure of grace that we give to other people we love. So saying kind things to ourselves. There's a meme out there that I love that says, you spend the bulk of your life inside your own mind. You might as well make it a nice place to be. And that's what we're talking about here is, is giving yourself grace on the journey. So that's the third builder. The fourth builder is going to sound a little...
But wait, like, what is it the antidote for?
Oh, yes. Thank you. So giving yourself grace is the antidote to head trash.
Oh, perfect. Great. Thank you.
The fourth confidence builder is choosing confidence. Now, that seems kind of obvious, and we've already sort of talked about this, but this concept that a lot of us believe that failure or that confidence is either a feeling we have or we don't. So we sort of sit around waiting to feel confident as opposed to understanding that we can choose it anytime we want. Confidence is both a choice and a feeling, but choice comes first, feeling follows. And so that fourth confidence builder is just choosing confidence. And again, we do this a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And it's been so cool to witness women do this, but it's just showing up. It's just, you know, deep breath. I'm going to give it my best, you know, and the act of choosing confidence. And that is the antidote to judgment and comparison, because judgment and comparison tends to whittle us away from our confidence. And so our opportunity is to just choose it.
And keep on choosing it, because it slips away and you need to, you need to like refresh the screen, because you've got a lot more practice with the opposite. So you keep choosing it and choosing it and choosing it and choosing it until eventually that becomes your norm.
Absolutely. You can see my wall behind me. These are all representations of confidence for me. And I did this purposely. So when I walk into my office, I'm literally faced with confidence, and it helps me with the act of choosing over and over. And you know, a lot of Zoom meetings, I can see my brave girl with her hands on her hips over my shoulder anytime I want. And it just sort of helps remind me that I can choose moment to moment to moment.
Thank you for explaining what I'm looking at, because those are great. And did I hear somewhere or read somewhere that that stance where you're standing with your feet planted and your hands on your hips, that that actually has an impact on what's going on in your brain, like just taking that physical stance? Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And there are other things. Certain smells can help us, you know, visual reference, quotes. There are a lot of ways that we can help ourselves choose confidence. Still, you know, always a choice we get to make.
Love it.
And then the fifth confidence builder is the antidote to seeking confidence externally, and it's building it internally. Again, loving reminder that what we're talking about here is boldly trusting yourself. And so this is an internal thing that we do. There are lots of ways we can do this, but if you're struggling with it, think about how you build trust with another. First is keeping your commitments, the ones you make to other people and the ones you make to yourself. And we as women tend to do a much better job keeping our commitments to others than we do the ones that we make to ourselves. And they are of equal importance as it relates to confidence building. I would even argue that keeping the commitments you make to yourself are more important as it relates to confidence building. So, and again, watch for perfectionism here, because nobody keeps 100% of their commitments 100% of the time. But it is really, you know, being mindful of keeping your commitments as much as possible to build trust. Other things, one of the things I know you're super passionate about, creating and communicating boundaries is a phenomenal way to build internal trust. We could get into that more if you want. Practicing self-care, another way to build internal trust. Doing things that give you energy, that light you up. Being authentic in your communication and your experience. And, you know, there are so many things that can go in this category. But ultimately, the fifth confidence builder is doing the things that build internal trust versus looking outside for somebody to bring it to you.
Absolutely. You know, a question is coming up in my mind as you're saying this, and I'm imagining somebody like really taking this seriously, saying, for the goals and dreams and plans that I have in mind, I absolutely need to plug up these derailers and get them off of the playlist in my head and really start taking the job of building my own confidence seriously. Is there ever a time that you would actually become like too confident? I mean, can you, because we all know and have seen people that are arrogant, people that are totally self-absorbed, and even people that are narcissistic. And I think sometimes when women know they really need to do some work to be more confident, they'll bring up this fear that, but what if I turn into a raging narcissist? And I think if you're worried about that, you don't have to worry about that, because narcissists never think they are.
But exactly.
Is it possible, Nicole, that you can actually have too much confidence or be too confident?
I mean, my answer is no. I don't think you can ever trust yourself too much. But you hit the nail on the head, Diane. I think what happens in our brains when we think about that is we think of the raging a-hole boss we had, you know, in the past, or we think of it often in more masculine terms. We think of confidence in being really bold and aggressive and, you know, telling people how great you are and all of that. And that is not what I'm talking about. Ultimately, we often are misrepresenting confidence in our own minds by other people's arrogance, narcissism, ego. And that is not attractive. And so sometimes we think, oh, I don't want that. Well, that's not what we're talking about here anyway. So no, you can't become too confident. Certainly, you know, we can become arrogant or let our ego run the show. I agree with you. If you're a narcissist, you're not asking yourself these questions anyways. So, but ultimately, arrogance and ego are a mask for a whole host of insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not really confidence we're looking at or talking about anyway.
I agree. Do you think confidence is a requirement? Like, do we need, we've talked for a while now about the benefits of it. But do we actually need confidence to be able to go after our goals. What do you think about that?
I think we need some measure of confidence, certainly, to go after our goals. I think we are going to live much fuller, healthier, purposeful lives if we connect to confidence in the way that we're talking about it, trusting ourselves. So I know a lot of people and women who are uber successful professionally, but maybe don't have the kind of confidence we're talking about here. They're confident in business. They trust themselves in a professional environment, but have yet to transition that or transfer that into other aspects of their life. In fact, I do a poll when I do like keynotes or speaking engagements, and the most common answer to the question of how would you most accurately describe your current level of confidence is I feel confident in some areas of my life, but not in others. 62% of the people poll answer that question. And there's five responses. So that is the most common. As a side note, only six people, not 6%, like six humans have ever said they feel 100% confident 100% of the time. And I think they were either narcissists or super arrogant or, you know, thought it sounded good, because I don't actually think that's
not being
a reasonable. It's not a reasonable response. So to directly answer your question, I believe confidence is going to make your life better, happier, more fulfilled. And it certainly requires at least confidence in the thing that you're doing to succeed, excel. And women have a tendency to over-rotate towards competence, whereas men rely more on their confidence. And in groups of people, you know, people will choose confidence to follow even over competence, believe it or not. So we have really the opportunity to build our, I think men could stand to build their competence a little bit more and not rely so heavily on confidence. And I think women could stand to build their confidence and not over rotate so heavily on competence.
I would totally agree with you. No, I would totally agree with you. In fact, one of the articles that I refer to quite a bit is The Confidence Gap from The Atlantic Magazine in 2018, where they talked about the fact that a man will apply for a position, a promotion, whatever, if he meets 60% of the criteria, and actually not be at all surprised when he gets the interview and even the job. Whereas a woman won't even allow herself to apply unless she meets 100% of the criteria. And even if she's got all the experience, all the qualifications, and interviews really well, she's far more likely than a man to chalk it up to luck or, you know, diversity policies or whatever, as opposed to the fact that she actually deserves the job that she's qualified for and is the best candidate, which I think is so, so fascinating, because you're saying that the confidence factor actually inspires people to, you deal with leaders, and leadership is a huge part of your coaching and speaking. Confidence is actually more inspiring in a leader than competence. Now, clearly the leader who has a lot of both is what we all hope
that's
to follow.
But that's the best formula. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this, but in sales, I've had experiences where I was, you know, in competition and the client will choose to go with somebody else. And I'm like, how did you make that choice? Like, I am so far ahead
are you
of that
on?
Person in competence, experience, knowledge, you know, whatever. And I had to be honest with myself. In a lot of those cases, it was they demonstrated more confidence than I did. And I was over-rotating and relying so much on telling them what I knew and, you know, trying to, you know, build my resume as opposed to, you know, lead from the relationship. And your example from the Confidence Gap article is really a good one to show perfectionism, overthinking, and a little bit of imposter syndrome at work. So, you know, a lot of those confidence derailers at play there.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking. So before we wrap, Nicole, I want to ask you, I know this is a question that many people ask, but I think for women who empower women. It's so important, and especially on this topic. If you could go back and speak to your younger self or your young daughter, I know you have a young daughter, and give her knowledge, wisdom, just give her like a direct download to her mind and brain that would maybe change the course of her life. Like, could you have become a confident leader, speaker, podcaster, coach earlier, easier, if you had known this? And what do you share with your daughter along these lines?
Yeah. So it's funny that you asked that. I actually have a little thing written out that I use to coach myself in moments where perfectionism or head trash, and it's me speaking to my daughter, speaking to myself, right? So obviously what I wish for her are a lot of the same things that I wish for myself, but it's just easier to get there when I think of her. So I'll read what I read to myself. Perfectionism is the enemy of confidence. You will never be perfect, and living in fear is the worst way to live. Let it go. She's watching you, she being my daughter. Move forward. Do what you hope she'll do when faced with the same situation. Be an example. Be brave. If you can't move forward for yourself, do it for her. Let her know when you make mistakes, but show her that your mistakes don't define you unless you let them. Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
I love that so much. And you know what I love even more, Nicole, is how touched you were by saying it, even though you wrote those words. Because being able to lead your own daughter into confidence and yourself at the same time, what a gift. You know, what a gift. And we know how important it is, and we know that it can easily be derailed, and it's a lot easier to stay on the path than to find your way back to the path. So how lucky she is to have you for a mom, and how lucky you are to have yourself as your own inner guide instead of inner critic.
That's Thank you. Wonderful. I love that. I'm going to use that, inner guide versus inner critic.
You are so welcome. And this was such a good conversation. I'm going to have to come up with a scheme for getting you back on the podcast in the future.
Oh my gosh. Because anytime, I love it.
We have so many thoughts in alignment, but I think your perspective on this and your delivery of it is something I'm going to make sure that we get all of the links to Nicole into the show notes, because you are definitely going to want to listen to her podcast, This is Woman's Work, if you work in an organization that's looking for a fantastic speaker. She's available for that as well. Is there anything else that you want the audience to know about that I can link to in the show notes before we go?
Oh my gosh, Diane, thank you. Yeah, I mean, the podcast is sort of my passion project. It's a way that I can, you know, give of my time and talents for free, as well as the amazing guests you included, Diane. But speaking is my number one passion and, you know, professional goal. So thank you for throwing that out there. If you're looking for a speaker for an event or at your company, virtually or on site, I would love to have a conversation. So thanks.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you are welcome to come back anytime. We could talk about confidence and how to have more of it. But at the end of the day, make no mistake, confidence is a choice. It is a habit. It is a skill. It is not something that you either have or you don't have. And if you do not have as much as you want right now, start building it today. Thanks for being here, and we will see you again next week.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.